I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he, God, who sent me, will direct me. I am content to be wherever God wishes, knowing that God goes there with me. I will be healed as I let God teach me to heal. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent love who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because love who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever love wishes, knowing love goes there with me. I will be healed as I let love teach me to heal. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent freedom who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because freedom who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever freedom wishes, knowing freedom goes there with me. I will be healed as I let freedom teach me to heal. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent God who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because God who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever God wishes, knowing God goes there with me. I will be healed as I let God teach me to heal. I will be healed as I let love teach me to heal. How would you like to be through rid of fear and conflict?
Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that worthwhile goal?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, turn to page 28. Fear and conflict, chapter 2. Page 28, chapter 2. It starts off by talking about how being afraid seems to be involuntary. It looks like it's not always within your control. Sometimes you just become afraid and you can't help it. And then it says, the Course says, well, God has already told us that the only thing to be involuntary is constructive acts. So the only thing I shouldn't be able to be beyond my control is I just can't help being constructive. Okay? So he says, my control can take over everything that doesn't matter, while my guidance can direct everything that does. If you so choose, your higher self can take over everything in your life that doesn't matter, and your higher self's guidance can direct everything in your life that does matter if you so choose. But your fear cannot be controlled by God, but your fear can be self-controlled. It's your fear that's preventing you from letting your higher self take control of your life. And the presence of fear shows that you raise body thoughts to the level of the mind. You actually think that the body thought is as powerful as a real thought. He says, this removes your thoughts from my control and makes you feel personally responsible for them, and this is an obvious confusion of levels. Now jump down to where it says in paragraph 3 that the second sentence, it says, when you are fearful, you have chosen wrongly. That's why you feel responsible for it. You must change your mind, not your behavior. You must change your mind, not your behavior. You must change your mind, not your behavior. And changing your mind is a matter of willingness. You don't need guidance except at the mind level. So the only level that I needed to be guided on is the level of my thinking. My thinking needs to be guided, not my behavior. Because correction belongs only at the only level that change is possible. correction needs to be on the mind level, because it's only at the mind level that you can change anything. So every correction is a mental correction. There's no such thing as a physical correction. Changing anything at the symptom level doesn't mean anything. To change anything physically before you change it mentally, you haven't changed anything when you just change something physically, but you haven't changed it mentally. You can change where you live, and you can go live somewhere else with the same mind and recreate the same thing in the new place that you had in the old place. You can physically get another relationship and keep the same old man and recreate the same old pattern in the new relationship that you did in the old relationship. Changing at the physical level without changing at the mental level doesn't change anything, even though it can be entertaining to have the variety. So I'm not against the variety. Okay? Because I will change the form in a minute.
It's fun.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun changing form. You can fool yourself temporarily that you're better. Now, and you might actually change because there's somebody new or some situation is new. You really might just release your old concepts about it long enough to really let some change happen, where you may be so fixed in your way of seeing the old person or the old situation that you just can't change your mind about them. So don't think that something's wrong if you decide to choose out of a situation. But just realize that no real change has happened until you've changed at the mental level. Okay, you ready? Okay, so it's okay to use the Band-Aid as long as you realize that, you know, it's like taking a pain pill. You may not feel that problem, but it certainly hasn't healed it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so sometimes a physical change is like a pain pill.
Yes.
And while you're not hurting, you might may be easier for you to get to the doctor. So there's something to be said for the pain pill, okay? Then it goes on and says, the correction of fear is your responsibility. So when you ask God for release from fear, you're implying that it's not your responsibility to correct your fear. So instead of asking for the universe to release you from your fear, you should ask for help in the conditions that brought the fear about. I should be asking for help in whatever the condition is that's making me feel afraid. Instead of asking God to release me from this situation, I should be asking God for help in the conditions that are making me afraid. Because the once the condition that's making me afraid is corrected, I let go of the fear.
Sure.
You know, if I'm in the middle of the woods and I walk up on the bear, mm-hmm. I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Somebody removed the bear, I let go of the fear. Mm-hmm. So I need help in the conditions that's making me afraid. So instead of asking for God to release you from your fear, the Course says, why don't you ask for help in the condition that you're in right now that's causing your fear? He said, because I'll tell you what the condition that's causing your fear is. In this situation, you're willing to be separate right now. And your willingness to be separate is what's causing the fear or the conflict that you're going through right now. Your willingness to be separate. In other words, your willingness to think you're different from the thing you're upset about. Your willingness to think you're different from the person you're mad at. It's my willingness to think that I'm separate from my Creator. That's what's making me afraid, is I think I'm separate from my Source. That's the real cause of my fear, because if I knew I was connected to my Source, there would be nothing in this world that could make me afraid. So the reason I'm afraid is because I've lost my connection with God.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you know with the Course in Miracles, we don't have to believe it, and we don't have to accept it, and we don't have to welcome it, right? That you can just accept whatever it is in the Course in Miracles you want to accept, and whatever you don't want to accept, just let it go. That way I can go deep in it without feeling like you have to get you to believe nothing I'm saying. And then you don't feel like you have to believe nothing I'm saying, so you can listen to me. See the difference? Okay, so I'm not about trying to get everybody to understand what I'm saying. I'm just going to tell you what the book is telling me to tell you. Okay? The book is telling me to tell you that whenever the next time that you're afraid, you need to ask for help in the conditions that's making you afraid rather than asking the Creator to release you from the fear, which is what most people do. You talk to most people, they're praying to God to release them from the situation that's making them afraid. The Course in Miracles says you should be asking for help in the condition that brought the fear about, and the condition that's bringing our fear about is our sense of being separate from God, our sense of being separate from our Source. He says, now, at this level, you can help it. You've been much too tolerant of mind wandering. You're passively condoning your mind's miscreations.
So you are
too tolerant of the way your mind operates. You're too tolerant of your mind wandering away from what's best for you. You're too tolerant of letting your mind wander into fear and conflict and guilt and different. You're too tolerant of thinking things about yourself that you don't deserve to think about yourself. You're too tolerant. You're passively condoning all the miscreations that your mind is coming up with. You hear me, Bunny?
Yeah.
Okay. You hear me, Anna?
I hear you, bro.
Okay, all right, okay, all right. Anybody else hear me out there? Okay. Passively condoning my mind's miscreations. In other words, I'm accepting all these screwed up thoughts. Okay. Then it goes on to say, and then it goes on in the deep. He said, but the correction is always the same. Before you choose to do anything, ask yourself if your choice is in accord with your higher self. If you are sure that what you're about to do is in accord with your higher self, if you're sure that what you're about to do is really the right thing for you, if you're sure that what you're about to do is really right for you, then there will not be any fear. Before you do anything, ask. If your choice is in accord with yourself, you will not be afraid. If your choice is in accord with yourself, if your decision is in accord with you, you won't be afraid. A decision that you are afraid about was a decision that is out of accord with your own self. So there's no such thing as making a decision and being afraid after you make the decision if the decision is in accord with what you really want. So if you make decisions and you're afraid of those decisions, that decision is not a reflection of what you really want. Because if the decision is a reflection of what you really want, your higher self, what God wants, there will be no fear. See, the book is just telling us. Now, we can argue with it, we can fight with it, we can debate it, but butt it up. Right? Yes, but that's not what the course is saying. I'm just here to deliver a message, and the course is just here to deliver a message, and we have to do with the message whatever we want to do with it. Now, whenever you're going through fear, what you're really experiencing is a strain. So fear is strain. And a strain comes up within you whenever what you want is conflicting with what you're doing. So if you are afraid, what you want to do is conflicting with what you are doing. So if you're full of fear, you are not doing what you want to do. Now, this conflict where you're not doing what you want to do, it arises in two ways. You ended up in the spot you're in today. You ended up in the spot you're in today. For only two reasons. If you're afraid or if you're in a strain about anything, you ended up in that strain for just two reasons. First of all, you chose to do conflicting things either simultaneously or you did stuff you didn't want to do one thing after another. So if you're full of strain, either you're constantly doing things that conflict or you're doing one thing after another that you really don't want to do. He says, now, when you are doing conflicting things one after another, you're doing one thing after another that you don't want to do. You're saying one thing after another that you don't want to say. You're acting one way after another that you don't really want to act. Then the Course says this produces conflicted behavior. So you're a person whose behavior conflicts, and the Course says that's intolerable to you to always be in conflict. It's intolerable to you because the part of your mind that wants to do something else is outraged. I'm doing this, but I don't want to do this. But the part of me that don't want to do this is mad. So I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing this stuff all the time, but the part of me that don't want to do it is mad. I'm with the person I don't want to be with all the time, but the person part of me that don't want to be there is mad. So the Course is saying you're in conflict because part of you mad at yourself for always doing what you don't really want to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much. It's a nail on that.
Okay. I just want to finish clearing the room on out. Every week is a little bit less, so I just thought I'd finish it up this week so I can move on to the next class.
It's all right.
I just gonna finish it on off. But therefore, what do I have to lose?
Yeah.
And that's the point you really get free in your life.
Yeah.
When you don't have nothing to lose, then you'll be real.
That's
right. No, if you think you got something to lose, you're not going to be real. The second reason why a person goes through conflict and fear and pain is because they keep behaving the way they think they should without really wanting to. So I'm behaving the way I think I ought to behave, but I sure don't want to behave that way. And he says, now when you act the way you behave the way you really don't want to behave, but you do it anyway, he says what this does is it does give you consistent behavior. You do seem like you're pretty consistent in your behavior, even though you're acting the way you think you ought to without really wanting to, but you always feel like you're under a lot of strain. Whenever you're acting the way you think you should, but you don't really want to, then you feel like you're under a great strain. And he says that if you are in great strain, if you have conflicted behavior, if there are some areas of your life that you are not happy in, if you have some strain, it's because your mind and your behavior are out of accord. And so you're in a situation right now, if you're upset, in which you are doing what you do not totally want to do. You're doing what you don't totally want to do, then you feel like you're under strain right now. In whatever area you're not doing what you really want to do, you feel like you're under a lot of strain. And so this usually arouses a sense of coercion, which usually produces rage, and then projection is going to follow. Yeah, I'm going to get mad and I'm going to project it out on you, and what the hell is going on? That's what strain leads to, attack.
Yes.
Strain leads to attack. That's why the little quiet person is on top of the building shooting people. They have been under a lot of stress lately.
But they were doing what they were supposed to, though.
They were doing what they did not really want to do. They were behaving as if they should be, they thought they should behave without really wanting to. And people who do that all the time are under a lot of strain and a lot of fear and a lot of conflict. And they feel like they're being coerced. And they just get on the verge of going off. Okay? So the court says, whenever there is fear, it is because you have not made up your mind. Whenever you are afraid is where you haven't made your choice. It's where you haven't chosen. Where you are afraid is where you haven't made up your mind. Your mind is therefore split. And so your behavior inevitably becomes erratic.
Wow.
Wherever you haven't made up your mind is split, so your behavior is erratic. When you haven't made up your mind becomes split and your behavior becomes erratic. When you don't make up your mind becomes split and your behavior becomes erratic and you become inconsistent and undependable. A person that's treating you in a way that's not consistent is a person who hasn't made up their mind about you. The person who's decided that they love you consistently show you love. As they change their mind, their behavior towards you change back and forth from hour to hour, moment to moment, day to day, because they haven't made a decision about you. They're still analyzing whether to love you or not. They're still evaluating how they should treat you because they haven't decided. And once they decide, their behavior becomes consistent because their mind is not split. So there's no part of the mind that's getting upset with you. My mind gets upset with me, then I attack you. Correcting at the behavioral level can shift the error from the first to the second type. If you correct your behavior, you can behave the way you think you should without really wanting to, but it will not obliterate your fear. You can keep acting the way you think you should, but it won't get rid of your fear. You can keep acting the way you think you should without really wanting to, and it will not get rid of your fear. Okay, so before I go into the solution area, where the greatest unconsciousness occurs, I'm gonna throw it open for about 5 minutes for questions and comments.
We all go to work. I mean, I don't go to work every day. I wish I went to work every day, but most of us go to work every day, and a lot of us don't want to. So then we're living in a constant state of anger and projection and fear.
That's what it looks like. Most people to go to jobs that they don't want to go to have. That just seems like one of the best definitions of regular people that I've ever seen. That's the problem with regular people.
Yes.
Regular people, that's what they're doing. They're behaving as they think they should without really wanting to. And then people wonder why there's road rage.
Exactly.
You got a bunch of people under constant strain of not doing what they want to do for a lifetime. And then we're amazed that people go off.
Yes. Shocked.
So, yes. Great question. Anybody else? Question coming? Yes.
We've said several times we haven't made up our mind. We haven't made up our mind about what.
That's what we're going to get to in the next section. Okay. Anybody else?
So if you just want to hang out and work in your garden all day long, then the universe will support you doing that, but it may not support you to the to a level that you've become accustomed to or something.
Depends on how much guilt you feel about hanging out in the garden.
Exactly.
If you got a lot of guilt about hanging out in the garden, you make sure it presents a problem to you that day. Somehow or another, you won't be taken care of. Your bills won't get paid.
Yeah.
See, doing what you think you should out of guilt, you still got a split mind. So the ego will say, well, that doesn't mean I just want to get up in the morning and lay in the bed and don't go to work. Is that okay? You know you well enough that if you were laying up in that bed, you wouldn't let yourself feel total peace about it.
Exactly.
So you would have still would be in the bed, but the part of you that thought you ought to be at work would be mad at you.
Right.
Yeah. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're still dealing with the split mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So in personal relationships,
mm-hmm.
People are constantly changing the way they treat other people.
Right.
So is that saying that nobody has decided yet? Nobody's made their mind?
Yes! I love it when people talk dirty to me. None of us have made up our minds about each other yet. We're all still what? Judging.
Yes. Yep.
That's what we're doing. We're judging. Are you worthy of my dysfunctional love? like we got this big gift we're going to give him anyway. You're kind of funny, you know. You're going to get my love, and you don't know how funny of a trip that's going to be.
Yeah, that's all right.
You really want it this bad. You really do. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, the same you get, the more you realize how crazy you were.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're like, and all of a sudden you realize you were under a state of grace.
Yeah, you're still alive.
Yeah, all of a sudden you realize, boy, it really was something taking care of me when I was totally selfish, totally crazy, totally unaware, totally projecting, totally blaming. It was still people loving me, feeding me, taking me out, calling me on the phone, wanting to be with me. And as there's never been a stage in my life, no matter how crazy and unconscious I've been, that I was not surrounded by people who still somehow wanted to be around me.
Yeah.
And I bet you the same is true for you.
No.
So you've already learned you're capable of being loved in your most insane state of mind. You know you're not crazy as you used to be, so you know love's got to be easier for you to achieve now.
Yes.
It's just that the crazy people won't be interested in you. And you already fall in love with cute, crazy people. It's like you're puppy right along, you're doing real good, you're on the path. You forget all about sanity. What do you like about that person? Their eyes. Oh, great. Okay. That's going to be real helpful.
Yeah.
Going to help you a lot. Yeah.
Well, how come my list of friends keeps getting smaller?
How come her list of friends keep... How do you think your list of friends are getting smaller?
Good question.
I guess I was just trying to be funny.
That's a good question, though.
No, but it's true.
That's a good question.
A lot of people have fallen away.
Okay, I don't know if you...
aware I become.
The more people fall away, the more aware you become. The more people fall away, the more aware you become. The more people fall away, the more aware you become. The more people fall away, the more aware you become. Now, have you also noticed that your peace has increased exponentially?
Yes.
We'll keep that in mind. So what fell away was your conflict.
Thank you.
And you will have new people that will be drawn to you that will reflect the state of mind that you are now achieving. It's inevitable. But it's about being patient in that little interim period.
Yeah.
You know, okay? Some of you may be experiencing exactly what she mentioned, like the more sane you become, the less people seem like they're around you. You know, the people who love drama are not attracted to peaceful people. Drama kings and queens are not attracted to peaceful people, but we are attracted sometimes to their passion. And their passion will draw us. Because sometimes people who are trying to be peaceful are just very deep in repression. So their peace is coming from denying their passions and their feelings. And they're just covering it all up on the positive thinking. And then you come up on these people who are still not afraid to express their anger and express their fear and express their joy and express their pleasure and express their, you know, their passions for things. And we're drawn to them because we are attracted to life. We like to be around people who are alive. Because we've been taught to associate life with conflict and peace with death. So when you die, you rest in peace. But if you're alive, you got to be dealing with some conflict. So we're attracted to people who are full of conflict because they make us feel alive.
Oh! Do it then, or I'll finish this off now.
I told you I would.
You're getting close.
You know, you get to a certain point that, you know, I'm getting real close, I know. But you know, it's like I really want to see for my own personal whatever. Yeah. How many people that come to this class really want to hear the course? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And in fact, the best way to find it out is to just get a course more hardcore and more straight than I've ever given it before. See who lasts, and then I got the people I can work with, and we can go deep. So it's going to get tough, only because it's going to be coming straight at us, straight out of me, straight out the book, as pure as I can possibly let it come through me after 25 years. And it's going to bring up everything in you that there is to be brought up. And I'm going to see who hangs. Okay. And those are going to be ones that 25 years of being obsessed with this book, I can finally get it out.
All right.
And share it. Because I know they can take it hardcore. Okay, so here we go. Now here comes the answer, unless there's another question. It's okay if it is.
All right. It seems like, Ben, that all these people that have been around us that have put up with us during the years when we've been crazy. To me, if you ever had any doubts about the existence of God, that would prove it.
Exactly. That's what I was saying, David, that the more conscious I become, the more aware I am that I am living under the grace of God or some greater loving being than I ever imagined. Because as I become more conscious, I become more conscious of my own illusions, my own errors. My own where I haven't been loving. My own where I have been projecting. And then I realize that in my most insane, mean state, selfish state, there were people around me that still wanted to be around me, that still wanted to do things with me, that were still telling me that they loved me. That is amazing to me now. To me now, it's not about trying to figure out who it is I need to forgive. I'm just feeling this overwhelming sense of gratitude for all the unconditional love that I was shown all my life that I didn't even know I was receiving because I was so busy being in conflict because I was never making up my own mind about nothing.
Wow.
It's deep.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh.
God. Okay. Now here's the next part. It says, it's possible to reach a state in which you bring your mind under my guidance. So we know who my is. My is your higher self, God. He says, it's possible to reach a state in which you bring your mind under God's guidance without conscious effort. I sure would like to do that.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to bring my mind under the guidance of the highest power without me consciously having to do anything.
Yeah.
He says, but guess what? This implies a willingness that you haven't developed yet. He says, now, the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, the part of you that can really solve everything, the Court says that part cannot ask more than you're willing to do. So, you can always tell when it's your higher self asking you to do something, because if your higher self is asking you to do it, you will be willing to do it. If your ego is asking you to do it, you will not be willing to do it. So that's a very powerful statement, folks.
Yeah.
That's a very... Okay, it's so simple that we just go right past you.
Yeah.
I know it. Okay, if your Holy Spirit cannot ask you to do more than you're willing to do, so the voice for God would not ask you to do anything you would not be willing to do. So all the stuff you think that God is asking you to do that you don't want to do, it ain't God asking you to do.
Woo! That's good to know.
The truth always is good to know. Because the truth is always easier than anything we've made up. It is easier for me to do only the things that I'm willing to do than for me to be expected all the time to do what I'm not willing to do. So it makes sense to me that if God is really intelligent, God would ask me to do what I would do so it could get done. Why would I ask somebody to do something that they don't want to do if I really want to get it done? If I really want to get something done, I'm going to ask you to do what you would do. So God asking you to do something is always going to be something you're willing to do.
Are there any limitations on that?
No. You're going to try to think up a lot of them. I guarantee you that. Our ego is going to always try to think of some reason why what we just heard wouldn't work.
Right.
That's just its job. But and rather than start living your life as much as you can trying to do what you're willing to do, try that for a while and see what happens in your life. Even though you may not be able to pull it off all the time, as much as you can, try to do what you're willing to do. We know it's going to be a transition. We know you're going to have to learn how to do it. It's not like we're going to do this overnight. We're still going to make our sacrifices. We're still going to act the way we think we should without really wanting to. We're still going to do some things that we don't really want to do because our minds are twisted that way right now. But we're trying to learn how to do it differently. So what you should do, as much as you can, do what you want to do. In those situations where you can do that, do it. Don't worry about the going to work tomorrow to a job you don't want to go to, but you know you got to pay your bills. That's the thing you do last. But if you know you got an hour this evening, what you really want to do is go to the park, even though you told somebody you wanted to go to the movie, but you didn't really want to go to the movie because you're just trying to go to the movie because they wanted to go to the movie. In those little situations, you call them up and you say, you know, I think I'm going to go to the park. See, start with the little stuff. Don't start with the gigantic stuff. Forget the gigantic stuff. Don't try to forgive the person who molested you when you were a child. Forgive the person who pulled into your parking space.
Amen.
Start with the little stuff. People always want to start with the big stuff. Don't start with Adolf Hitler. And that's how the ego gets. It always tries to say, go to the toughest thing and then try to do the toughest thing. I'm saying, hey, you know what? It's a gorgeous day outside. When you leave out of here today, as much as you can the rest of this day, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Then you're obeying the lesson. Mm-hmm.
So, if you hear the voice of God, and you're willing, and you take a step, and you do something, and then the supposed outcome isn't so cool, like you lose everything.
We're starting with the big stuff. So you're going straight to the big stuff.
I know.
Uh-huh.
I just want to hear you talk about thinking about that. helping me with my thinking about that.
If you think you lost the big stuff, but you really believe, first of all, what you want to do is have any feeling you want to have about losing the big stuff. Not try to repress your feelings about losing the big stuff. If you're upset about losing the big stuff, feel like you're upset about losing the big stuff. If you feel sad about losing the big stuff, feel sad about losing the big stuff. The first thing you do is don't try to be positive. Don't try to be an avatar. What you want to do is tell the truth to yourself about how you feel and let yourself feel what you feel in the moment. And say, at least I can decide I don't like the way I feel now. So I hope I'm wrong about how horrible it is for me to have lost everything. So I really want another way to look at this, losing everything. Perhaps there is another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking Holy Spirit, God, universe, please give me another way to look at this. That's what you do over and over again. Every time you get upset about it, go, please give me another way to look at this. Next time you feel sad about it, go, please give me another way to look at this. And if you keep asking for another way to look at it, you will be given other ways of looking at it that will make you feel more and more peace about the situation until the pain goes away. But in the beginning, tell yourself the truth. At least I can decide I don't like the way I feel right now. At least I can decide I feel fear about this right now. And I hope I'm wrong because I'm feeling all this fear because I think I've lost everything. And I hope I'm wrong in believing that I've lost because my fear is coming from my belief that I have lost. Not from the furniture, not from the money, but from the belief I've lost. If I believed it was the best thing in the world for me to get rid of all that stuff, I'd be going, hallelujah, as they pulled off from the truck with all my stuff. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get to the point of spiritual path that when somebody breaks up with you, you'll be going, yay! You'd be so glad. And that's a 180-degree shift from the way it used to be when you'd be like a basket case for 6 weeks.
You'll be
absolutely so happy you'll know exactly how to deal with it. Because you won't make a bad choice out of happiness. You'll know how to deal with it when they show up if you're happy. Because you immediately know if they bring it, you immediately know if they're getting ready to add to your happiness or whether you're getting ready to use them to take it away. You will know. Just have a conversation with them. Take them out to lunch. Have dinner. You're attracted to somebody? As quick as you can, get in a space where you can listen to them. Don't touch them. Talk to them. Don't touch them. Talk to them. Don't touch them. Talk to them. Because your ego want to touch them.
Yeah,
your ego want to touch them first. It wants to get to the body first. You know, especially if you like their butt. I know I got to think about butt, right?
Yes, yes.
You, she had her hand in the back a couple of times.
Question. During the split mind period, should we have an affirmation about to help us change that?
We're going to get to that. It's in this section. It's in the same paragraph.
Okay.
Notice this is fear. Fear arises from a lack of love. The only remedy for lack of love is perfect love. Perfect love is the atonement. The atonement means the answer. Perfect love is the answer. So what I will eventually get to, first I need to know that this is fear I'm going through right now. This is upset I'm going through right now. You got to put it in your own words. First I got to know that this is anger, fear, upset happening right now. And this is coming from a lack of love. And the only remedy for a lack of love is complete love, perfect love. So I need to tell myself, you know, complete love is the answer. Complete love is the answer. Complete freedom, which is love, is the answer. Perfect means complete. So perfect means complete. Love means freedom. So what I need in this situation is complete freedom. Complete freedom from fear is the perfect answer. So what I want in this situation is complete freedom from fear. When I used to think freedom, I thought physical. I was trying to figure out ways to have physical freedom until I learned through the Course in Miracles that there is only mental freedom. And when you free your mind, then your body will follow. But you got to free your mind first. So if you got a problem right now and you're feeling afraid right now, you should be telling yourself, perfect love is the answer. My complete freedom from fear is the answer. My complete freedom is the answer. Because once I have complete freedom from fear, I can hear the answer that God has given me every moment of the day to any situation I'm in. Very specifically, I'm being told what to do, but I can't hear what I'm being told by God because I'm in fear. I'm in conflict, so all I hear is my conflict. All I hear is my weary. All I hear is what I'm upset about. I'm not hearing the answer. So what I really need is complete freedom from fear. I need help in the conditions that brought my fear about. And you know how my fear came about? It came from me doing one thing after another that I didn't want to do, and from me behaving as I think I should without really wanting to, which made me feel like I'm in a strain, that I'm being coerced, now I'm mad at everybody. See, that's deep.
So whenever I did something last week I didn't want to do, but I thought I ought to do it. Something was telling me to do it, so I did it. But I didn't want to do it. And then when I got the answer, I didn't like the answer. So is that an example of what you're talking about?
Exactly, a regular person. You're a regular person. So don't feel bad. Everybody in this room does that. All of us have those areas where we are not doing what we really want to do, where we're making ourselves act the way we should, and where we're not being true to ourselves, making ourselves feel strained, making ourselves feel afraid, and then getting upset with everybody around us and blaming them for what we're going through. That's the human condition of an unaware being. And what's going to be so cool is, once you start waking up, you're going to see everybody around you acting out everything that the core says the ego does. And all of a sudden you realize that you're getting a three-dimensional lesson of how the ego operates being performed for you by everyone you know. You'll see it. You'll look at it in the book and it's like it might be hard to see where you're behaving as you think you should or doing one thing after another to accomplish. But you'll look at it and you'll see your mama doing it, your sister doing it, your brother doing it, your friends doing it. You'll see them stop. You'll see everybody around you doing exactly what the Course in Miracles says. And you'll also see them getting the result, which is the conflict and the fear. And you'll see it. And all of a sudden you go, my God, this is the truth. And if it could be this true about how it says our ego operates, could it be this true about how it says the right man, the God in me, reality is? Could the good stuff it's saying here be as true as how true it is about talking about the crazy stuff? Because when you study it, you'll see it's totally accurate about how it says our ego operates.
I can see it perfectly in other people. It's in myself. I can't see it.
And as soon as you recognize that other people are nothing but yourself, then in seeing it in other people, you know you're seeing it in yourself, and you'll be out of denial, and you'll be free. So as soon as you stop seeing other people as not being a part of you, then it would be okay for you to see it in other people because you know you're seeing it in you. Mm-hmm. And you still get the same result. Mm-hmm. It's separating ourselves from the people that we see that keeps us learning the same lessons over and over again. As soon as I was to understand that whatever I see in you is in my mind, not in me, and whatever I see in you might be in your mind, but it's not in you, because you and your mind, you and your ego, are not the same thing. So what you see out there is not a reflection of you. What you see out there is a reflection of a thought in your mind. That's a biggie to get. Because a lot of people say stuff like, you are what you think. You're not what you think. You just see what you think. You perceive what you think. You experience what you think. You live what you think. You have what you think. But you're not what you think. Because if you were what you thought, there would be no stable self in you for you to ever know, because your thoughts are always changing. There wouldn't even be no real you if you were what you thought.
Amen.
Because what you think about yourself never stays the same from moment to moment. So there must be a you behind all these up and down thoughts. There must be a you that's thinking all these thoughts.
Yeah.
And there must be a you who's even believing all these thoughts. And that's you.
Mm.
So,
I want to go on.
Go.
Okay. Now, it says here, it's possible to reach, he says, okay. He says, the Holy Spirit cannot ask more than you're willing to do. But the strength to do comes from your undivided decision. So the way you have the strength to do something that you feel like you really want to do is you have to make the undivided decision to do it, and you have as much strength to do what it is you feel like you want to do as how much you've made an undivided decision about doing it. So the minute you make an undivided decision that you're going to do something, you will have the strength to do it. Next point, there is no strain in doing God's will. So if it's God's will, you're not feeling a lot of strain. You know why? Because you recognize that you want it too. You see, it's not a strain for me to do what you want me to do as soon as I realize I want to do what you want me to do. As soon as I recognize I want to do what you want me to do, it's no strain for me to do what you want me to do. That's what the Course said about God's will. It won't be no strain to do God's will as soon as you realize God's will for you is to have complete happiness. The lesson here is quite simple, but particularly apt to be overlooked. It's a simple lesson that's apt to be overlooked. I will therefore repeat the lesson. Guess what? I'm going to urge you to listen. Here we go. You can forget everything you've heard up to this point if you're willing to remember what you're about to hear. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay, because some of us have already successfully forgotten it.
Forgotten what?
I love it, Anna. Thank you. Okay. Anna's also an incredible Course in Miracles facilitator that does a class out at Rocky Mountain Miracle Center. 7:30 on Monday night. Anna and I have known each other for 20 years, and it's been quite a journey.
Yep.
I'm telling you. And she's is absolutely dedicated and committed and aware of the Course and the level that's a trip. So if you get a chance, you haven't had a chance, go to Anna's class.
Hi, girl.
That's the truth.
I heard of
that. Yeah, Anna's cool. All right.
Only Anna looks up
that. That's right. Thank you. Appreciate it. So, the Course says that this lesson here is quite simple, but particularly apt to be overlooked. I will therefore repeat the lesson, urging you to listen. Here we go. Number one, only your mind can produce fear.
Okay.
Your mind is producing fear whenever your mind is conflicted in what it wants. So, every time your mind is in conflict about what it wants, it's becoming a fear machine. So if you you're always in conflict about what you don't want, you're just a little fear machine. All day long, you're just making fear. What's making fear? Not being sure about what I want. Not knowing what I want. Then people say, oh, God, that is, but I don't know what I want. Well, the Course says, let me give you an answer. Let me give you an answer to that. So you won't be making fear. You ready? Mm-hmm. Peace. What do you want?
Peace.
What do you want?
Peace.
Porsche. Peace. What do you want? House.
Peace.
And what does the Course in Miracles says peace means? Total fulfillment. I want complete fulfillment. Can we agree?
Yeah.
We want complete fulfillment. So if I was to be sure, completely sure, if what I want is complete fulfillment, even if I don't know how to achieve it, I would not be in conflict.
Wow.
Yes, but. You see it for everybody. Okay. Okay, here we go. See, somehow or another, I work but in there, don't I? Okay.
Yes, but.
I'm trying to get over my thing about fearful, guilty body parts. So I made references to body parts that are usually associated with fear and guilt and don't get mentioned. So, just want to let y'all know that. People will say arm, no guilt. Eye, no guilt. Ear, no guilt. Butt.
Ooh.
Neck. Vagina.
Yeah.
See, that's going to get rid of half the people right there. You don't know how to pray. That's the most fearful thought.
That's
right. Is vagina and penis.
That's right.
Because most people don't know if they completely want it or not.
They
have a split mind. They have a split mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, I won't mind.
Yeah, people have such a split mind about their sexuality that is one of the most miserable, fearful, guilty areas of life. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Adults can talk about sexual things. I think we are. I think so. We talk about everything but the things that we have the most hang-ups and problems about in truth classes.
Right.
We talk about everything but the stuff we deal with every day. It's so funny. It's like don't mention money. Don't mention sex. You know, don't mention I wanted to kill somebody last night. Don't mention how guilty I feel.
Yeah.
You know, about just eating a piece of cake. You know what I'm saying? Let's not talk about the stuff we deal with every day. Because we're in a truth class. So let's not tell the truth. In a truth class. Right?
Yeah.
The truth is, the reason why I'm having problems in any area of my life is because, number one, I'm doing one thing after another that I really don't want to do, or I'm doing a lot of things in conflict at the same time, or I'm acting the way I think I should, but I don't really want to, which is making me feel coerced and strained, and then I get really upset and I attack the people around me. So then I try to behave the way I think I should, which gives me consistent behavior, but I'm always full of strain and I always feel afraid. I could reach to a state that I let God take over, but frankly, I haven't developed that ability as yet. And God can't do no more for me than I'm willing to have done. And so I need to get to another level, and the strength for me to get to that level is going to come from me making an undivided decision. And as soon as I realize I want the kind of happiness that my Creator wants for me, it'll be easy to do what my Creator is telling me to do, when I believe that what my Creator is telling me to do is what I want to do. My mind is the only thing that's making me feel afraid right now. It's doing that because it's conflicted in what it wants. I'm going through a lot of strain because what I want to do and what I'm doing is discordant. I'm doing a lot of doing. What I want to do and what I'm doing is in discordance. So this can be corrected only by accepting a unified goal. So I can get out of all of this strain by accepting a unified goal, which is one goal.
Peace.
Peace. Total fulfillment. I've got to be really clear that nothing in my life, nothing in this world is going to be more important to me than my peace.
Woo-hoo! Amen.
And anything that's more important to me than my peace is an idol that will betray me. Mm-hmm. You have to make agreements like that with your friends. You have to say, help me stay awake. Help me stay awake. I know I'm going to still make some stupid choices. Help me stay awake. I know I'm gonna be tempted to go in my pattern. Help me. Help me stay awake. Don't let me go. Who ever saw Invasion of the Body Snatchers? And it was okay until they what? Fell asleep. It was when they fell asleep that their bodies could be taken over. It's a message in that. I have been taken over by my ego when I fall asleep to the truth of who I am. My fear takes over. It inhabits my body. It looks like me.
Yes.
But it's not.
It makes me stressful.
It's true. This is so true. All right. I'm going to stop right here.
Thank God.
Wake up, God! Wake up, man! Don't go to sleep! Okay, I'm scared to do it, but I'm going to do the love offering right now.
Give me all my money back.
From all the glasses. From all the glasses. Woo! This is so true, man. I tell you, it's so true. It's like if you want that little cue secure the truth that don't bug you, you know, like, but this Course in Miracles stuff is like, thank God. Because if it does this thing correctly, you'll feel a little disoriented. You know what I'm saying? That's how you know you're getting it. If you don't get a little shook up, you're not really getting it.
Oh, my God.
You got shook up.
Did you get shook up?
Yeah.
Hey, look here. Thank you for sharing with me. You know.
Wow.
Thank you. I teach the course full time. It's not my life. God blesses me to the people who appreciate what they receive through me. So thank you. And we thank you here in the temple also. Next Sunday I'll be speaking at the 11 o'clock service. I want to invite you to come. And then 1 o'clock, the two of you. It's on page 30. No first that this is fear. Fear arises from a lack of love. The only remedy for lack of love is perfect love. It's okay. The name of that song is called Everything Is Okay. Relationship is for to help you remember the truth about yourself when you forget. You see what I mean? If you can't always remember that you deserve complete love, at least the people in your life that you call your friends or your lovers or whatever, those people should be the people who remind you that you are so wonderful, that you are so beautiful. And if you have someone in your life that when you're feeling low, they just help you feel lower, that's somebody that's not helping you achieve your goal of total fulfillment. You have to evaluate for yourself whether that person is really valuable in your life. Because you deserve complete love. That's what you deserve. You do. No matter what anybody's told you, no matter what you've experienced in the past, no matter what you've learned, that's what you deserve, is total love. Thank you, Heather. I appreciate that. I'm getting there.
Great job.
Thank you, baby. May the course be with you.
Yeah.
See y'all next time. 12 noon, 7 p.m. Thursday. Woo! And you can get copies of today's CDs if you're interested.